Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So let's test the levels. Oh my god, mega drama the other day. My dishwasher stopped working. Yep, his visa expired. No? All right.
What? Slow down.
I said, oh my god, mega drama the other day. My dishwasher stopped working. Yeah, his visa expired.
My dishwasher. Oh, I get it, because...
Yes.
Like right. An immigrant worker. That's not funny.
Okay. I'm sure wherever my dad is, he's looking down on us. He's not dead. He's just very condescending.
That's funny.
I think we're ready to go. You know, from time to time on the podcast, you explain to me what something means. Mm-hmm. And there's a term that I hear used all the time, and I'm not...
By the way, I only just saw this, like, today or yesterday or something. You spelt bear wrong.
Did I?
You spell it like a grizzly bear.
Well, I thought it was that.
No,
well,
you spell it B-A-R-E, like naked.
Oh, right, I thought it meant bear, as in big. When you said you got bear grief, I thought...
Yeah, no,
meant
it does, like, big, like a lot of, but you
well,
spell
that...
That use of bear, you spell B-A-R-E.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure. I'll put it in the thing.
I think you're wrong. I think you're totally wrong, because...
I think I'm not, but whatever.
B-A-R-E normally means little, you know, very little, you know, bare. Oh, the room was very bare, there was nothing in it.
No, it's spelled... Like, the woman had bear cats, I was bear tired. A lot of very, an exclamation used in disbelief, bear, B-A-R-E.
Oh, right. Well, my apologies. Yeah. I assumed it was bear as in, you know, a big, something big.
Yeah, this is funny, actually, because it says, the only word that means the opposite of itself. So my cupboards are bare today.
Mm, precisely.
But there's bear in my cupboards.
That's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Oh, there
you
go.
Explain something else to me. I often hear people talk about other people being passive aggressive. If you want to insult someone, oh, passive aggressive, what exactly does passive aggressive mean? Give me an example of passive aggressive behaviour. Does it just mean something?
Would it mean like talking about someone behind their back, but not bringing it up to their face?
I don't think so.
Would it be like gaslighting someone?
Gaslighting someone. Now that's making someone think they're mad when they're not.
Yeah.
Mad. Taken from the film Gaslight, 1940s.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I've only just fully learned what this word means. I've used this word tons of times, gaslighting, and never truly understood, but now I think I do get it.
All right, well, explain gaslighting.
So, like, gaslighting is making someone think that they're in the wrong, because when you actually are, it's like manipulation, basically.
Yes, it is.
It happens a lot in, like, romantic relationships, I would say. Like, I think that's where people use it the most often.
Mm.
So, would gaslighting be passive aggressive?
Would that be passive aggressive behaviour?
I feel like it would, because it's like doing stuff that's not overtly argumentative.
No, I think gaslighting is completely different from passive aggressive. I think what passive aggressive is not confronting something properly. So, in other words, say, for instance, I don't mind taking the bins out. I'll take the bins out every week because I quite enjoy the little walk out to and wheeling the little bin along.
Yeah, and I do not enjoy to touch the bins.
Yeah, nobody else wants to take the bins out. But that's not a problem with us because I don't mind taking the bins out. But if, for instance, I were to take the bins out and then say, I've taken the bins out again...
Yeah, that would be
passive
aggressive.
Rather than saying, would somebody else please take the bins out? That would be being direct. So it's being indirect.
Yeah, I think you've got it. And then
But I was hoping you were going to explain that to me, because kids use it all the time. People say, it's passive-aggressive.
Yeah, I feel like you use it, though, but I would use it in the right sense, but it's hard to explain. It's one of those words, things that's hard to explain
what
it is.
So do you not ever call any of your friends passive-aggressive?
People do, though, don't they?
People do use it, though, don't they?
People do, yeah. People use the term passive-aggressive.
And I'll give you an example of somebody using passive-aggressive. There's a girl called Ruth, and she's...
Good.
Yes, she's a student at the University of Lancaster.
She's an 80-year-old woman, because that's how old every other Ruth is.
No, she's not. She's a student at the University of Lancaster. She's trending on social media. Basically, she shares a house with a bunch of others.
Is this the bin story, and she made the survey?
Yes.
Brilliant, absolutely hilarious.
Well, you tell me about it.
So there's this girl, and she's a uni student. She lives with all her housemates. She's got like four or something, and she's got a group chat with them. And she was so sick and tired of like tidying up after everyone and taking the bins out is the main thing. So she made one of those like Survey Monkey things and sent the link into the group chat. And
what's
it just
a Survey
says,
Monkey?
Just like a survey, but you can make them really easily and then send like links to everyone. And the questions are stuff like, do you A, care about the cleanliness of the flat because you respect and appreciate your other housemates and don't want to live in filth, or B, not care at all, like it's just like funny stuff like that, or like, do you A, take out the bins because you respect your other room, your other housemates, or B, leave it for me to always take out the bins?
Well, that's the
point. Really good.
She did an amusing survey, and because basically she'd taken the bins out the last four times in a row.
A lot of times.
Yes. So she'd taken the bins out four times in a row, and she wanted to point out to her flatmates that she was the one that was taking all the bins out. Well, she was accused of being genius-level petty.
But she even said, like, when she did the screenshots of, like, her sending it to them, and she was like, my perhaps petty but unbelievably witty, like...
Yeah, she
like, she took
witty.
The piss out of herself as well.
She did a little bit, she did. But anyway, the Times, Robert Crampton, very good writer, writes a column in the Times.
Yeah.
He did this thing in the paper about Ruth and her behaviour. She wasn't being passive-aggressive, which she'd been accused of being, he says. She was asking her housemates to start behaving like decent human beings, to embrace basically the cooperative behaviour that glues any civilised society.
Yeah, but I feel like the way that she was doing that was passive-aggressive.
Do you think so?
I think she was, like, spot on to do it, but it kind of was passive-aggressive, but it was so funny, it doesn't matter. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, and I think a lot of passive-aggressive behaviour, you think, well, we'll make a joke of it.
Yeah.
But I suppose it depends on the quality of the joke. I mean, if hers was a good joke, fine. But
I also think that smart people tend to be more passive-aggressive. I think that goes alongside... This is why I think it's easy to confuse with something like gaslighting, because usually people who are smart gaslight you because they're manipulative, and I think that passive... Like, in its worst sense, I think that a lot of passive-aggressive...
Well, in its worst sense, it's the film Gaslight, 1944, when Charles Boyer was the guy who... I think it was Charles Boyer in that film, who was gaslighting the woman whose name escapes me. Mm. But
I think that passive-aggressiveness is often just stuff like taking the bins out, and it's how you are with, like, your mum and whatever. But I think if in its worst sense, it's people who are smarter than other people manipulating them. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, you can be a bit passive-aggressive, do you think, from time to time?
Yeah, I think everyone can be a bit passive-aggressive from time to time.
Mm. On the topic of Gaslight, which is one of these old black-and-white films that you know, that you'd catch me watching, you actually, and this was such a delight to me, you actually requested the opportunity to watch a black-and-white film.
The opportunity.
I sent in my
little card that we keep at home so Dad can decide what films we watch.
Yes, so we watched Casablanca.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'd never seen it.
How brilliant.
I'm trying to watch the films that I've not seen that everyone talks about and says that. So, like, last week I watched Erin Brockovich. This week I watched Casablanca.
Yeah, not everybody talks about Erin Brockovich. But
people talk about Erin Brockovich quite a lot. It's one of those films that you're expected to have kind of seen, I think.
Casablanca is referenced, obviously...
Black and white, there's literally no colours. Isn't that mad?
And it's referenced in various films that you like, isn't it? Like When Harry Met Sally and all that.
It's referenced in When Harry Met Sally quite a bit, so I felt like I should have seen it.
Yes, because they're watching it in separate
Yeah, they talk about it on the road trip, and then they watch it again.
Do they talk about it on the road trip?
That's how it comes up. because she's like him. She wants to get on the plane at the end. She would much rather be the First Lady of Czechoslovakia than stay in Casablanca with Humphrey Bogart. And then he goes, ah, I see. You've never had good sex. And then there's the whole Sheldon thing.
There's the Sheldon thing.
And the days of the week underwear.
He's a good accountant, Sheldon. Mm-hmm. What a marvellous film that is.
It's brilliant.
What a fantastic film when Harry
I've seen it is. So much.
Yeah. Well, the point was made, you know, it's always the same when the Oscars come round, that all the wrong films win the Oscars. When Harry Met Sally, Oscars, nil. Mm-hmm. My Left Foot, Oscars, 7. Whoever
I've never heard of My Left Foot.
Yeah, precisely. Whoever.
It didn't win any Oscars when Harry Met Sally.
It might have won some technical Oscars. I don't think it won anything else.
Outrage?
My Left Foot, Cecil Day Lewis. Not Cecil Day Lewis. What's his name?
Daniel
Day Lewis.
Cecil Day Lewis, the poet and film star.
Daniel Day Lewis. So many Oscars, but nobody will ever want to watch that again. Well, congratulations, Ruth. A bit of a rite of passage. You're getting hate mail.
No, this is genuinely there. Before we do all the jokes about it, because, you know, it is funny. It's genuinely actually quite mean.
Yes, well, I did make that point on the... It's somebody's written to my radio show.
On a letter.
Yes. Somebody. It's so long since I've had a letter.
With a stamp.
A letter with a stamp and actually a window envelope in this
Who
as well.
Who goes to the post office anyway?
Well, they've been to the post office. That's how much they don't like you, Ruth.
At me on Twitter.
We get a lot of mail saying how much they enjoy the podcast, which is nice. But this shows that
not paper mail though.
Not everybody loves it. This arrived in the post to my talk radio show. It says, "We beg, beseech, and implore you to ditch the abysmal Ruth slot."
I would say that nice use of triplification.
Triplification. What's triplification?
That's what it's called, the language technique, you know, when you use three things in a row.
Beg, beseech, and implore, yeah, I suppose. Yeah. Yes, the rule.
Lovely
of,
use.
It's the rule of three, yeah. From your otherwise excellent radio show. Thank you. Apparently, it's a podcast, so they've just been listening to extracts that I play on the radio show for the benefit of people who've not heard the podcast, you see. Apparently, it's a podcast, so if people do want to listen to it, then they have that option. But please, can you stop inflicting her on the rest of your listeners? Her supercilious, whining lectures are just awful.
As her supercilious?
Whining is worse.
You think whining is worse than supercilious?
Supercilious, yeah, almost certainly. As her participation is threatened at the start throughout the show, it's difficult for us to know just when to switch off in order to avoid her.
That bit hurts, that in order to avoid her.
I know. They're like everything else in my show.
Oh, good.
But they're not very
keen. I'm very glad.
Yes. Hoping that you accept this as constructive criticism. And I did tell them...
It doesn't feel constructive.
I said I felt it was more destructive, actually.
I just don't understand, I think it opens up a wider thing of, why be mean to people? Just don't listen.
No, I
could you imagine being a celebrity and getting stuff like that all the time?
Well, they do. I mean,
I know, it's awful,
this is
isn't
your
it?
first crack at having hate mail. Having said that, Lawrence Wilson wrote to us by the normal means of email. It's interesting, isn't it, that a letter is considered so bizarre. But he wrote to us via the email, which of course you can, ladies and gentlemen, saying that he loves the show, absolutely loves, not the show, he loves the podcast. He said, because there wasn't much on TV, he says, I've been listening to the podcast. And we know we put a little amusing title on the podcast. He's listened to 40 Boxes of Cereal, Dreamtime. Do you remember you saying that? Who Invented Reggae? Was it Levi Roots? See if you can spot the edit there and kill all the hippos. So that was 4 recent episodes, he says.
Mm-hmm.
And he also says he's answered the question about the lakes in the Lake District. Well, we already did have an answer to that.
Yeah,
he's
apparently
a little bit behind. There's just one lake.
That was my fact, and it's actually not true.
No, Bassenthwaite Lake near Keswick in the north of the Lake District is the only lake in the Lake
District. The rest
District.
Are meres.
They're meres or waters.
It's so weird that they call it Lake Windermere.
And tarns, some of them, yeah. Tautology. Lake and Mia, they're both sorts
they're different
of
things.
Different things, yeah. Something. Anyway, he says, topic to cover.
Riveting stuff, I know.
Yeah, he says, topic to cover. He says, I'm not sure about this. He says, if you ask a teenager a question on history, they might have been taught at school, their stock answer is, I wasn't even born then, so how would I know? But I think people know from watching Pointless that you don't say it's before my time.
Most things you don't say are before your time.
No.
Some things do. Like, I think that certain, bits of music, if they're not stuff that sustains, then why would you have? Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, certain things I think you can be like, oh, that's before my time. TV shows.
Mm. It's interesting.
Like, children's TV, like, why some stuff?
I think the point you make about some things just go on and last, you know, obviously the Beatles. And
that was coming.
Well, nobody's going to say the Beatles are before my time, but 10cc, which was later than the Beatles, you reckon was before your time?
Yeah.
In that, you know, you weren't familiar with 10cc.
Just because, why would you be?
Yeah. Why would you be? Yeah, absolutely right.
So if you do want to send us hate mail...
Oh, yes, the hate mail address. The hate mail address and all other mail, we'd love to hear from you. It's martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com. martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com.
At least they were creative in their insults. You know, supercilious is clever.
But if you want to write to us, this could even start a trend. You can get hold of me at Talk Radio 18 Hatfields, London SE18DJ.
Nice stuff goes to the email. Handwritten letters of hate go to the post box.
Well, your sisters, or one of your sisters, has created quite a stir this week about transgender participation in women's sport. And she's on the side of the angels here because she's supporting Sharon Davis and Martina Navratilova.
She's on the side of the what?
Side of the angels.
What does that mean?
It means the right side, as far as I'm concerned.
Dad, you can't say that.
She's on the right side because she has supported Martina Navratilova and Sharon Davis in saying it's not an issue about whether you're transphobic and all that. It's just an issue about fairness in sport, which basically is if you were born a man, you shouldn't be participating in women's sport, whatever you identify as.
Yeah, it's just hard, though, because it's like, where do these people get to compete then? Because they're probably an unfair advantage if they compete with the men. Do you know what I mean? I think it's where do you put them to compete? Like, I kind of agree with what she's saying, but I think that it is difficult because where do they then compete?
Well, they don't. I mean, basically, I can't compete in international sport because I'm no good.
Yeah, I know, that's not.
Well, they've made the choice to transition. Yeah, but they made the choice to transition.
Yeah, but that's not really a choice.
Well, it is to, you know...
Like, it's a choice, but it's not. It's not a choice so much as you can't choose to be gay the same way you can't choose to be transgender.
You can't choose to be a woman in a man's body. However, what you can say is you can balance it out. Well, it will bring me psychological peace if I change from a man to a woman. Balanced against that, I won't be able to compete in international sport. So, like everything in life, you have to make choices. So your choice is, do you want to give yourself the psychological peace of being
a woman, which you felt
I think that's absolutely fair. You couldn't be more even-handed than that. I've got to decide, at some point in your life, you're going to decide, do you want to be an academic or do you want to give up your academic career and do something else, you know, empty dustbins or something? And, you know, life's a constant choice between two paths.
Yeah, I suppose, but, like, it's not so much of a... Because one of the things of choosing to transition is not seen as a choice for many people because there's no way that you could live and be...
I agree.
That's why so many people kill themselves.
Yes, I agree. And to do that, to live in that way, you have to give up international sport.
Yeah,
that's not a huge sacrifice.
I suppose not. But if, like, you love sport and sport's been the thing that you're really good at, like, that is a huge sacrifice. I don't think it's fair to say it's not. And I don't think it's such an easy choice of, like, well, I mean, you have to live in the right body, so give up international sport. Like, that is really difficult. And you know how much people... love sport.
But it's not fair on the...
I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying it is more difficult than that.
You know, there's a small number of transgender
international athletes.
Therefore, you're inclined to say tough.
Yeah,
basically.
No, I agree, but I think that more important is the, like, people have been really hateful on both sides because some people have turned it into, like, a transphobia thing.
Mm,
of, like, they're men, they shouldn't be... Because they are women... they're just women with an unfair advantage. They're not men. Mm. And I think that's what is really awful about it. Like, don't turn it into a debate on transphobia, because that's not what it is.
Yeah, I don't think it's become so much that. But somebody said here, this guy, James Pollard, says, you can't beat the equality drum, then pick and choose who is female or not. If non-transgender women struggle to compete against trans women, then so be it. Well, I would say so
there's
be
nothing,
it on the other
no
side.
There's no such thing as a non-transgender woman.
Well, yeah, we know what he means. You, that's Martha and not me, that's our daughter Martha, and Martina are undoing all of the progress made by Pankhurst. Shame on you. And then that's caused an absolute storm because Hadley Freeman of The Guardian has tweeted, oh yes, we love being told by men how to do feminism.
Yeah. No, I think that what he's saying is completely wrong, because he's turned it into an issue of transphobia and feminism and stuff, which it isn't and it shouldn't be. And also, and I think that
but hasn't it all
at the root of it, he is right, because feminism should be intersectional and, like, trans women shouldn't be excluded from conversations on feminism. But this is not that.
We'll have a short break and then a little bit of music.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact. You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now, we've had Billie Eilish before, and now you've chosen her again. Billie Eilish is
very young. Chose her.
How old is she? About 17 or something, yeah.
So I chose her ages ago because she did the song for the Apple Christmas advert.
Yeah,
but I just chose it because she'd done the song for that advert, and I never like to repeat the same people at all, and like there's it's not necessary because there's so much music, but I really wanted to not like Billie Eilish because it's a bit of a like cliche to be like a young girl who likes Billie Eilish and whatever, and I really didn't.
She's
but
she's really
actually
popular, isn't she?
she's really popular, but I actually really do like her, and I thought I would like you to hear a song that is more her.
Eilish, and it's all one word, isn't it, the title?
Yeah.
What is it again?
I don't want to be you anymore.
I don't want to be you anymore.
All lowercase.
All lowercase, a bit like E.E. Cummings years ago.
Yeah.
Why do you like her so much? She's quite mainstream.
Well, she's not...
It's melodic.
She's, like, mainstream, but she is more interesting than, like, boring pop. And I don't even know... I mean, I don't really listen to, like, Capital and stuff anymore, but I wonder whether she gets played on it very often.
Well, going back to something we were discussing earlier, how the Beatles and the 60s, it sort of has lived on, and people, you know, any references I made to the 60s would be quite familiar to you. However, if you look at the 70s is almost like a lost decade. If I were to say to you, blaxploitation, would you know what the heck I was talking about?
No.
Well, blaxploitation. It's described as an ethnic subgenre of the exploitation film that emerged in the United States during the early 1970s. We had a whole period, probably very early 70s, where you'd got films like Shaft was one, and that was probably the most famous one. But there were loads of films which were like sort of police thrillers, crime thrillers, but with black lead characters, as opposed to the old 60s, 50s thrillers, which usually had white lead characters. Yeah. It was basically, I mean, the films were by and large pretty rubbish. They were never that great, and the sexual politics of them was probably way out of line with anything these days. However, the music was always brilliant, and somebody, I think we might, did I play Bobby Womack once doing a rhythm and blues thing? Well, this is Bobby, well, like yourself, I'm going to repeat the same artist, I think, if I did play.
It's as if we've planned it.
It's as if we've almost planned it, because this is Bobby Womack again from one of those blaxploitation films.
I knew there was a better way of life, and I was just trying to find. You don't know what you do till you put under pressure. Across 110th Street is a hell of a tester. Across 110th Street, pimps try to catch a woman next week. Across 110th.
You know that song?
I know that song really well.
Where do you know it from?
I don't know, but I know it really well.
Well, it must be on an ad.
Yeah, I know that really well.
Yeah, well...
What's it from? What do I know it from? I feel like I know it from a film.
Well, the film that it's from is called Across 110th Street.
Yeah, I know, but another film.
They must have used it somewhere else.
Can I Google it?
Google away. I'd be interested to know what other film it was in. It's specifically about 110th Street.
Oh, yeah, it comes up with the film.
Yes, with Anthony Quinn. And Yaphet Kotto, who was the lead. See, normally in the 70s, Anthony Quinn would have been the lead because he was quite a big star in those days. But Yaphet Kotto was a black actor. He was the lead. It was a crime film. They were always crime films. The film's set in Harlem and takes its name from 110th Street. That's why I'm surprised that it's used in anything else. It takes its name from 110th Street, which was the traditional...
I don't know. Maybe I just do know it from...
Maybe you've heard me play it. Maybe I played it in the car. Possibly.
Gosh, 50 Cent told NME that the song was the first with which he fell in love.
Oh, it's a great song. It's a great song.
Yeah.
I used to play it all the time on Jazz FM because it was just about jazz.
It was prominently featured in Quentin Tarantino's 1997 film, Jackie Brown, and Ridley Scott's 2007 film, American Gangster.
Have you seen either of those? I don't think you have.
No. Should I?
Jackie Brown's quite good. Jackie Brown is just a complete spoof of the blaxploitation. If you've never seen a blaxploitation movie, Jackie Brown will sort of tell you exactly what the genre is.
Right.
Yeah, the 110th Street was the traditional dividing line between Harlem and Central Park that functioned as an informal boundary of race and class in 1970s New York City.
That's what 50 Cent was saying.
Yeah, well, 50 Cent's spot on. Have we ever played 50 Cent?
Haven't played 50 Cent.
Do you know, that's the sort of stuff you don't like particularly.
No, 50 Cent's fine. It's like kind of classic sort of
anyway,
gangster.
Anyway, it was Bobby Womack who did it. Robert Dwayne Womack died in 2014, Bobby Womack, sadly. He was born in 1944, so he died at the age of 70 in 2014. And he backed Sam Cooke at one stage. He was a guitarist for Sam Cooke. You know Sam Cooke, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
And he was with a band called the Valentinos as a youngster. There were a couple of his members of family. It was like a family group in the 60s. And they did this. I'll just give you about 10 seconds of this because it
was... You're having two songs?
No, there's only one
song. Do you think that's unfair?
It's still Bobby Womack again. Hang on.
I object.
Did I play this? I think I might have played you this before.
What, on here?
Yeah. I don't know, this was the other Bobby Womack song I thought I might have played you. The Valentinos, they called it. See, that's popular because it's the Rolling Stones did a version of it. It's all over now. Right at the start of the Stones.
Maybe, I'm not sure.
Yeah, the Stones used to do stuff that a lot of sort of R&B bands of the 50s and 60s, they read it. Like, same thing I said to you about Boom Boom last week by John Lee Hooker. Yeah, it all ties in. Tell us about the Virgin Airlines cabin staff, as they're called these days.
So, it has been, up until recently, compulsory for female cabin crew at Virgin Atlantic to wear makeup and tight skirts when they were serving meals or doing all bits of their job.
Pointing out where the exits are.
Yeah, and dealing with sick children, or is in the worst possible scenario, guiding terrified passengers through emergency exits onto inflatable slides. Mm. Yeah, so basically, they had to wear makeup and it was like a tight skirt, that was the uniform. Mm. But now they have loosened the rules. But they're not completely gone, because you still have to, you can wear trousers now.
Yes, it's an option, you can wear trousers.
It's an option, you can wear trousers. You don't have to wear this specific type of makeup, but it's still, there's still certain things you have to abide by. But there's a picture of the newest, like, Virgin Atlantic team or whatever, and literally all the girls look exactly the same.
Well, they're still wearing makeup and everything.
Their hair is the same thing.
They would want to wear makeup, would you not?
No, you would want to wear makeup, but the amount of makeup they're made to wear is, like, a lot. And,
but not being made to wear it anymore,
but still by some companies you would be. And my sister has a friend who is a flight attendant, and she does say that there is pressure. Like, still, even if it's not the rules, there might still be pressure to wear it because of the way it is. And also, they talked in this article that The Guardian did about the compulsory makeup and everything, about how it's actually, there's quite a bad gender gap and, like, sexist policies within Virgin anyway, because, like, most all of the pilots are men and the flight attendants women, and that's still, like, a thing. Even if you don't have to wear all the makeup, it's the power positions and stuff. The median hourly rate for women is 30% below that of men.
Really? Mm-hmm. Still?
Mm-hmm.
But one assumes that under pay gender equality rules...
Well, I think that's just because... I think that's just because men are the pilots and women are the...
Oh, right.
But I don't know. The gender pay gap stuff is always really hard to decipher what's what. You don't know how much of it is because women take more leave, when, like, maternity leave, and how much of it is because they're in different positions, or how much of it actually is the fact that they find loopholes to pay women less. Yeah. It's always really hard to decipher the gender pay.
It's more strictly policed now. You wouldn't get a situation where the men who are doing sort of semi-skilled work on the assembly line are earning more than the...
What are you basing that on?
More than the women who make the seats for the upholstery for the cars.
I think that might be the government's gender... This is the government's gender pay gap report. And I think that might be for all jobs, not just Virgin Atlantic.
What, the 30%?
Yeah.
Well, I'm surprised.
Well, no, I think it makes sense, though, because women are still valued less in a workplace because they might take maternity leave. Like, I think that you're not allowed to actually do it. You're not allowed to actually not employ a woman who's 30 or whatever because you're worried that she might have a baby, but you could find another reason not to employ her.
Although these days, certainly in the BBC, they give men get paternity leave.
Yeah, men do get paternity leave, but employers aren't idiots. They know that men are less likely to take it than women.
Men will get fed up being at home for it.
No, but also there's the natural part of it is that women need a week off. Very, very minimum. If everything is really smooth and you have a miraculous recovery and you have a job that doesn't require much, like, moving around, but you still are going to need some time off, whereas men don't actually need any of it off, as much as they should take some of it. They don't need it.
Over the course of this podcast, this series one, basically, of the podcast, you were trying to make me a little bit more woke. We were talking about the guys who stand outside the abortion clinic, or it's the Brooks Centre or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's like a Planned Parenthood clinic. That's what they call it in America, Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, I think the Brooks Centre sort of thing.
It's not just abortions, because I think that's where people get it wrong, that they think that it's just abortions, but it's not.
No.
It's everything contraceptive based and precisely. Also women's health, I think.
And there's some idiots who sort of stand outside it for hours on end in the rain and the wind, you know, hurricane, whatever it is today. And they'll be standing outside there with the placards campaigning and things. And I said, I have a certain grudging admiration for some of these people.
And I said, no, absolutely not.
Yeah, I thought, you know, just the persistence of standing and knowing they're just going to get abuse, and nobody's going to take any notice of them, and everybody's going to think they're just... It's just
bigots.
It's just bigots. Possibly it's a pointless pursuit. But I said, you know, I rather admired these people just for the persistence of it. But I've sort of changed my view.
Good.
So these people should be just taken out and, you know, just taken out of polite society, basically.
I thought you were going to say taken out and shot.
No, as I've got a list of people to be taken out and shot, but they're not immediately, they're not on it at the moment. Although they are very much in the pending tray. And the reason
top 100?
Is, yeah, well, I read this this story which absolutely shocked and appalled me. Doctors in Argentina have performed a cesarean section on an 11-year-old rape victim.
Oh God, this is awful.
Who had requested an abortion. Did you see that story?
No, I didn't see this.
The girl who'd been raped by her grandmother's 65-year-old partner had asked for a termination after she found out she was 16 weeks pregnant. Abortion is legal in Argentina in cases of rape or when the mother's life is at risk. The procedure was delayed by 7 weeks because of a debate over who was the girl's guardian. The girl's mother had said that she should have an abortion, but because the girl was legally in her grandmother's care, the consent was not deemed sufficient. The grandmother lost her rights to give consent because she was living with the rapist.
Oh my God, still, even after the...
This is just middle-aged, this is antediluvian. Anti-abortion protesters had gathered outside the hospital to demand the pregnancy be continued to term.
Oh, my God.
Abortion is a divisive issue in Argentina. Last year, a bill that would have legalised it up to 14 weeks passed the lower house, but was defeated in the Senate. A new bill seeking legislation will be submitted to the government on March the 8th.
Is that just still because it's so religious?
I think it will be, yeah, almost certainly. But, you know, it sort of made my chest... I mean, clearly over here... That sort of appalling thing would never be allowed to happen in a million years. But you just think it's part of the same movement. Therefore, these people who are getting wet outside the Brooks Centre can continue.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's either you're behind a woman's right to choose, or you're pro-life. Like, there's no. I think it's one of those things where it's very much black and white. Is either you're always for people being able to choose to have an abortion, or you're not. And if you're going to stand outside the Brooks Centre, then you're also supporting people's right to say that this 11-year-old girl is not allowed an abortion. So, a common thing is that your generation got the chance to buy their own houses, and you get to live in houses and stuff. I will probably not get that luxury, and I will have to rent for the rest of my life or whatever. But one of the things that people have come up with as a solution, and there was an article in a newspaper about it, was that a new report is suggesting that co-living communities for adults in their 30s and 40s could be the way to go. So it would be kind of like a dorm situation, the same as they have in universities now. But they're saying that that is going to be so much fun for the people in their 30s and 40s, and obviously... That's pretty scary to think that that could be a reality of, like, living in dorms until you're 35 or whatever.
When you say dorms, what does it mean by
so
dorms?
You would have your own room, but you'd basically housemates, but quite, like, a lot of you, so, like, eight of you or something, in a, like halls of residence type thing.
Well,
might be terrible.
Would it be terrible? Well, it might not be.
In a little, you have a little room and then a little grotty kitchen for eight of you.
Yes, if you had a little room and a little grotty kitchen, but there's no reason why you should have a little room and a little grotty kitchen. There's no reason.
Yeah, but by the time you're 38 or whatever, it says 30s and 40s. By the time you're 40, surely you would want to live in your own.
Well, I suspect you could... you see, they have a renting culture in loads of countries, you know, France, in parts of the USA.
Yeah, but this is not just about renting.
Well, no, what I'm saying is you could, that is an alternative to renting. Some people might like to think of that...
No, you'd still be renting, though.
Well, no, you wouldn't.
You'd rent your room.
No, you've got it completely wrong. If it's co-living, you're not... renting, that's nothing new. If you're talking about renting... That's what you're saying is people won't be able to afford a house, therefore you have to rent a flat, or you'll have to share a flat.
Yeah.
That's not some great revelation you come out with. It's not. They're talking about communal living is buying a place together.
Oh, and then you all live in it together. That still seems awful.
Well, no, not necessarily. I know a friend of mine said, because we're all... all my friends are getting on now, you know, well, most of my friends are in the 60s. So they were saying, so what's the future if you're in your 60s? Well, you might end up in some sort of a care home or an old people's home of some description.
Yeah.
And somebody said, wouldn't it be a better idea if a load of chums got together and bought a big house, right? So we all sell our houses, buy a big house, and then live with other people. You know, if nursing care is needed, you hire that and everything. So you live communally.
Yeah.
And it's not kibbutz. How do people live on a kibbutz? You live communally, but you're living in your own house. I've been on a kibbutz, and basically you've got your own house, your own living quarters. You're not actually living. It's not a flat in your 20s. You've got the complete wrong idea. It's not like a student flat.
But then, I think that's what it was kind of getting at, that it would be like a student flat. But when you're 30 or 40... Well,
that's alarmist, because by the time you're 30 and 40, you'll have earned... You know, you'll be earning proper money, one would have thought.
Yeah, but because of the price of...
Yes, I agree with you. House ownership. I'm not arguing that one little bit. House ownership may very well be, you know, individual house ownership may very well be out of your league. Therefore, people, you know, because houses became so expensive, well, that's not necessarily going to continue forever. It may very well be. I mean, the house market is reasonably static at the moment. They've gone up very, very, you know, very steeply for a long time.
And then now it's kind of leveled
off. Static. And there's nothing to say house prices won't go down and it'll eventually get back to the same situation. But if it doesn't, this is one alternative that's been suggested.
I guess it just made me think about the... So you were saying that your thing about old people's like houses and stuff, and then these co-living communities or whatever, it just makes me think about the like different ways that people live their lives. So like, say in Japan, there's these like tiny houses which are like teeny tiny. It's just basically the size of like a double bed or whatever, and you have everything really compact because there's just no space anymore because the world is so overpopulated. Or there's things in America, I cannot remember what they're called. They're called something like co-living communities as well, and you have big communal areas that are really nice, really big and stuff, and then you just have a bunk bed and like one drawer, and then that's your space. And they're in lots of different cities, so they're, and you have like a card, so you can go to all of them in different cities, so like Chicago, New York, like big cities. And so that's like a new way that people are like choosing to live or whatever. Like I think that
I
think people are still trying to live in a way that they would have 20 years ago or whatever, when the world is really different.
It's everything's changed. Also, young people do like to travel way more than if you... Let's go back 50 years, for instance, when people used to be born in a town, live in a town, stay in a town. They'd maybe go away on the holidays, but that was about it. These days, people are much more mobile. Yeah. And that is a choice. That's a lifestyle choice. People want to be more mobile. That's why...
Yeah, do you also think it might be like a necessity for work, though, that people move more? Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying it's always like a choice.
No, but I think it's probably... Economic conditions have dictated what your lifestyles to exist. It's a bit of both, actually.
But some people, I think, find security in living in their house that they've lived in and are happy to live in the same city. But like that is not always feasible for everyone now, even if that's what you want.
No. Well, there'll always be a room for you in our house. You'll always be welcome, Ruth. We did get an email, I won't refer to the email now, but basically we did get an email saying, could we have less Kardashian news, less Love Island stuff? But I quite like that, because it's quite nice to illustrate the feed to the podcast with pictures of well-known people.
Yeah.
Is there any celebrity...
Any celebrity news?
Any Kardashian news or anything?
No celebrity stuff. There's a lot of politics stuff going on. Well, what just happened last night? Someone voted against something again. I don't remember.
You can ignore that, because by the time people are listening to this, something else would have happened. Have you got a meme of the week?
I do indeed. Okay, so this is just like, I find it funny because I like a good wordplay thing, but it's probably not that funny. You asked me on the way here, oh, is it funny? And I said, oh, yeah, maybe it's not that funny, I don't know. So
you're probably just best off doing it rather than giving your excuses in first.
Did you hear about the Italian chef that died? He passed away. We can only do so much. His legacy will become a pizza history. Here today, gone tomato. How sad that he ran out of time. sending Olive my prayers to the family. His wife is really upset. Cheese still not over it. You never sausage a tragic thing.
Cheese not over it. Cheese, really? Cheese not over it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Not funny?
Mildly amusing. Mildly amusing.
Good, that's what I was going for.
But not in the slightest bit supercilious.
What does supercilious mean?
Do you know, I'll have to look it up.
So neither of us know. Does it mean the same thing as whining? Does it mean like patronising? Like,
I think that's what it means. Super, oh, it means you're always, think you're right.
Yeah, I mean,
yes.
If the shoe fits.
Behaving or looking as though one thinks one is super serious. Sorry. Behaving or looking as though one thinks one is superior to others. Would you like to know some synonyms for supercilious?
Oh, please.
Arrogant, haughty, conceited, disdainful, overbearing, pompous, condescending, superior, patronising, imperious, proud, lofty, lordly, snobbish, snobby, overweening, smug. And then it asks us, do you want some more?
I think I dislike haughty the most.
Pretentious, affected, scornful, mocking, sneering, scoffing. Informal terms include hoity-toity. You're hoity-toity. Hoity-toity, high and mighty, uppity, snooty, stuck up, fancy pants.
Oh, my God, this is so me.
Toffee-nosed, snotty, jumped up, and too big for one's boots. So from now on,
I'll take it on board.
So see what you can do about being hoity-toity.
I would, if they're listening now, what I would say was, I said it was constructive criticism, but I think if it's constructive criticism, it needs to have a way to like improve and stuff. They didn't really give me that. They just said,
you're hoity-toity.
Yeah. So tell me what I can do.
I'm happy with you the way I am. I pointed this the way you are. I pointed this out.
I'm happy with me the way I am.
Yeah.
Speaking of hoity-toity.
I did point it when I read it. I just picked it up, actually, as I was walking to the studio and read this thing where it said, you know, enough already, save us.
All caps.
And I read and where it said, her supercilious whine. And I said, supercilious whine? It's my daughter you're talking about.
It's funny, though, because they expect... Like, right, so we'll assume that I am hoity-toity and supercilious and whining. The thing is that it'll really play on my mind, so it's not that funny, but...
It won't.
If it is true, you are, like, you're not just going to cut me off, you'll be like, oh, they don't like her, let me just, like, erase her. Do you know what I mean? What were they expecting you to do?
No, people do.
Like,
people
you
do.
Like me.
Yes, I like you.
Because, I mean, you have to.
I have no choice.
Yeah, so what... No, this makes me laugh.
Well, it is amusing, but you
like
know,
they've written it being like, oh, he'll like this.
Well, see, what it is that you've just had a very, 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 very small taste of what all celebrities, whoever they are, Holly Willoughby will get maybe a couple of hundred letters like that. I've often thought of it myself. I've often thought, you know, when I see Claudia Winkleman, who for some unknown reason just annoys me intensely, but every time I see, especially on the shampoo ad that she does, you know, the thing about her hair.
Head and shoulders.
The number of times I've thought, do you know, I'd like to write, but I just haven't got the time to write hate mail.
But also, like,
I need to make time in my day to write hate mail.
I think they call it the two-minute hate.
Just gets it off your chest.
No, but, like, why would
hate,
you...
Is that from 1984?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we want to bring it back.
But why would you, bother?
Well, like, because I don't
like
bother.
People are...
I don't bother,
yeah,
but,
I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I might just say it around the house, but she does irritate me.
I like Claudia Winkleman on the TV and stuff, but her article is really annoying, but I think on the TV she's really, really good. Like on Strictly, I think she's great.
Yeah. I don't
enjoy her article though. I don't think she's a great writer.
Good, well that's covered that. The address again, just for hate mail, is martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to hear more of the music, you didn't put last week's music on, I don't think.
No, I didn't. Well, I didn't. Yeah, I'm too busy being supercilious.
Well, I'm going to be passive aggressive about this. Put that.
No, that's not passive aggressive. No, that's just aggressive.
Well, what means up to now, I've been passive aggressive about you putting all the tunes on Spotify.
No, you've just been passive.
Well, now I'm being aggressive. put the music on.
Yeah, but if you do, the music will be on there, and you can search Ruthie, Me and My Dad, or Martin and Ruth, and either of those will take you to the playlist, which has got all the songs. Apart from last week's. We'll have all the songs. By the time you listen to this, we'll have all the songs from all the weeks.
And now it'll have Across 110th Street.
Yeah.
And it will also have Billie Eilish and I Don't Want to Be You Anymore.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.